This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
The Biden administration is waiving tariffs of some solar imports for 2 years in the hopes of jump-starting solar power projects. But the move is dividing the industry.
Developers and utilities are often reliant on these imports. But then there are solar manufacturers, a relatively small sector, but the president and a lot of climate advocates have been vocal about wanting to build up that U.S. manufacturing sector to make more of these panels here.
And British Prime Minister Boris Johnson survives a no-confidence vote. What's next? Plus, tips to keep your head cool on social media when the tarmac is red hot. It's Monday, June 6th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has survived a no-confidence vote after receiving backing by a narrow majority of his fellow Conservative lawmakers.
359 ballots were cast, no spoiled ballots, that the vote in favour of having confidence in Boris Johnson as leader was 211 votes, and the vote against was 148 votes. And therefore, I can announce that the Parliamentary Party does have confidence.
The vote was a failed revolt by rebel Conservative lawmakers who expressed concern that a looming economic crunch and public anger over Johnson's attendance at parties held in Downing Street during the UK's COVID-19 lockdowns would hurt their chances in the next election. Now, under the Conservative Party rules, Johnson can't be challenged for another year. But our UK correspondent Max Colchester says his troubles aren't over.
Boris Johnson survived the vote, but that doesn't mean that his party is going to fall in line and that his internal political woes have ended. Several of his successors, including former prime ministers Margaret Thatcher and Theresa May, have won these types of votes in the past and subsequently been forced out of office. So it doesn't mean that Boris has cleared all the hurdles ahead of him in terms of putting to rest this party revolt.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk is threatening to end his $44 billion deal to buy Twitter. In a letter to the company today, Musk accused the social media platform of not complying with his request for data on the number of spam and fake accounts on the site. A lawyer for Musk confirmed that he received a response from Twitter on June 1st about the bot accounts, but he said it didn't satisfy the requests. A Twitter spokesman said the company will continue sharing info with Musk to complete the deal. In April, Twitter accepted Musk's bid to take the company private, and Musk waived detailed due diligence. Separately today, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton launched an investigation into whether Twitter's reporting on real versus fake users was misleading or deceptive under a state trade law. Paxton's office has given Twitter until June 27th to produce documents on how it calculates and manages its user data and how that information relates to its advertising businesses. JetBlue is trying to sweeten its bid for Spirit Airlines as Spirit is finalizing merger plans with Frontier. JetBlue has made a hostile cash bid of $30 a share for the discount carrier, but the Spirit board has said it was too risky and a deal with Frontier is more likely to get regulatory approval. Today, JetBlue upped its breakup fee, offering to pay $350 million instead of $200 million should antitrust regulators block the deal. Spirit says its board will evaluate the proposal. A merger between Spirit and either JetBlue or Frontier would create the fifth largest U.S. airline. And staying with airlines, the Supreme Court has ruled unanimously that airline baggage handlers can't be forced to resolve employment disputes through arbitration. The ruling comes in a case involving Southwest Airlines, which argued that a ramp supervisor could not file a class action lawsuit alleging unpaid overtime, but had to submit a claim in a private individual arbitration. The court said baggage handlers are exempt from the 1925 Federal Arbitration Act. The decision bucks a trend of previous rulings that made it easier for businesses to avoid class action lawsuits. The case has been watched closely for its implications for other types of workers, such as Amazon or Uber drivers. But Monday's opinion stuck closely to the facts of the Southwest case. The U.S. has filed a warrant to seize two U.S.-made planes owned by Russian oligarch Roman Abramovich, saying they're subject to sanctions levied against Russia. They include a Gulfstream jet and a Boeing 787 Dreamliner, which we've reported was flown to Dubai in March. Abramovich has faced U.K. and European Union restrictions, but prior to this hasn't been subject to U.S. measures due to his role as a mediator between the Kremlin and Kyiv. A representative for Abramovich couldn't immediately be reached for comment. And a new Wall Street Journal NORC poll finds that Americans are deeply pessimistic about the U.S. economy, government, and global leadership. The survey results show that high inflation is driving the dim economic outlook. Some 83% of respondents describe the state of the economy as poor or not so good. More than a third say they aren't satisfied at all with their financial situation. Coming up, the White House plans to waive tariffs on some solar imports for 2 years and boost domestic solar manufacturing. So why is there pushback? More on that after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Last month, the International Energy Agency said that new solar development in the U.S. is set to decline 6.8% this year. That makes the U.S. one of the few places in the world where the solar industry is slowing. And part of that has to do with U.S. tax and trade policy. The White House is now taking steps aimed at boosting the solar industry and getting some stalled solar power projects back on track. Part of the plan includes waiving tariffs on solar imports for 2 years to help ease fears over supply shortages. But that decision isn't sitting well with some U.S. manufacturers. Joining me now to explain why is Wall Street Journal energy policy reporter Tim Pucco. Hi, Tim. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Tim, to get us started, tell us a little bit more about why the White House is taking this step and why it's doing it now.
Well, there are big questions about where the solar industry is going in the next few months to come. And a lot of it goes back to tariffs that reach all the way back to the Trump era. The Biden administration has kept those tariffs in place to try to build up a domestic manufacturing industry. But the developers and utilities that import a lot of solar materials have warned that it's getting to a point where their development around the country is slowing and might even lead to blackouts. The White House is trying to head off that possibility. It wants solar development to grow, not slow down. And this is an effort to try to resolve fears that those tariffs might grow or expand and get solar development going at a quicker pace nationwide.
So, Tim, this decision follows an investigation by the Commerce Department over whether Chinese solar producers illegally evaded solar tariffs. Can you catch us up on that investigation and how it plays a role here?
Sure. This has been a huge thing that has spread fear all throughout the industry. There's a small company in California, a solar panel maker named Oxen Solar, and it has claimed that China is circumventing the tariffs that are in place against it by sending materials through Cambodia, Thailand, Vietnam, and Malaysia. Since U.S. developers have been trying to get away from Chinese supply to avoid the tariffs, they've instead really become reliant on those four Southeast Asian countries. About 80% of all solar imports now come from those countries. And so Oxen's request to the Commerce Department was that it should investigate whether what's being made in those four countries is actually ultimately sourced from China and just an effort to circumvent those tariffs. There's been a lot of pressure from developers and from utilities, from a lot of lawmakers who care about climate change, to get Commerce to speed up that investigation. Commerce, in many cases, has refused. The Commerce Secretary Raimondo has said her hands are tied by the law and that the investigation has to proceed. They haven't given us a status update today, but their deadline is in late August. And both Commerce and the White House said today that what they're rolling out, this new plan, would not affect the ongoing investigation. It would still go forward.
And what can you tell us broadly about the state of U.S. solar development right now?
U.S. solar development has been on the verge of a slowdown. It's one of the few countries in the world where that's happening. You know, a lot of places wanted to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. There's more investment going into clean energy. But in the U.S., there's been a lot of uncertainty over policy. The investigation of commerce has been at the head of that. So what the administration is trying to do is resolve that conflict. It is saying that, you know, if we promise you that we won't charge duties on imports from those four countries for the next 2 years, you know, then development can get going at the pace that utilities and developers have promised. And there won't be this threat potentially for blackouts in the meantime.
Tim, we've been talking a lot on this podcast about how energy prices overall, mostly oil and natural gas, the prices have been going up due to the war in Ukraine. And that's also increased the attention the world is paying on renewables. How is that affecting the solar industry right now?
Well, there are a lot of states that want to double down on their climate goals. A lot of proponents of clean energy say that having that is the best way to ensure domestic supply. That trend has been going on for several years and has been fed primarily by concerns over greenhouse gas emissions and global warming. The ongoing issue with Russian energy banning it from global markets has just added to that. You know, prices are up all over the world for everything. Oil has been predominant, but prices are up for natural gas too. You know, they're up for electricity. A lot of that has happened in Europe, but there have been trickle effects that have spread that all over the world. Prices are up in the United States as well for all those things. And so, you know, there are a lot of people, a lot of policymakers who are supporters of the renewable industry who say if the United States invested more into developing solar, but also wind and clean batteries, that it would help buffer the United States from some of those potential price shocks.
So to that end, what else are you hearing from the solar industry about the new steps the White House is taking and their hopes for the coming years?
Well, there's a huge divide in the industry right now. Developers and utilities are often reliant on these imports. But then there are solar manufacturers, a relatively small sector, but the president and a lot of climate advocates have been vocal about wanting to build up that U.S. manufacturing sector to make more of these panels here. And so both of those two different parts of the solar industry have very different opinions about what the White House has put out today. By allowing duty-free imports for 2 years, developers and utilities say, you know, that probably goes a long way in resolving their fears about tariffs. They can start bringing in the materials that they need from these countries and ensure that there is no slowdown. And they get the capacity online that's needed to avoid any sort of power shortfalls in the months to come. You know, but that comes with a cost. Domestic manufacturers have been reliant on these tariffs to give them an advantage. They're a very small player compared to giant competitors, you know, primarily from China, but from other parts of Asia and other parts of the world as well. And so if those tariffs aren't in place, if in fact China is circumventing tariffs, well, you know, taking that tool away, it's one less thing to build up that part of the industry. So Oxen said that this may be illegal and it really helps China and hurts the U.S. Other solar manufacturers, not many of them have spoken out yet, but First Solar, which is one of the more prominent ones, has. And it has said that what the White House is doing today doesn't go nearly far enough. There are provisions that the White House is putting out there. In addition to like waiving the tariffs, there are provisions that they want to help get more money into U.S. manufacturers to help them over the coming years build up and get bigger. But First Solar said, you know, what the White House is doing on that front is not nearly enough to make the progress that they need to make. Senior administration officials, both at the White House and at the Commerce Department, have said that the investigation is still ongoing and that what they're doing today won't curtail and interfere in that investigation at all.
That's Wall Street Journal energy policy reporter Tim Pucco. Tim, thanks so much for your time.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
And finally, whether for flight delays, lost luggage, or bad service, airline passengers are often skipping the toll-free call and tagging their airline's social media account instead. It can be a faster path to customer service and might even land you perks like a free Wi-Fi code or rewards points. But with travel demand reaching a fever pitch this summer, the airline social media teams are having a harder time fielding complaints. Our reporter Jacob Passy says rage tweeting at them may not be the answer.
First off, consider reaching out via DM rather than just posting publicly. Obviously, there's this whole idea that you're shaming the airline into responding to you. So that's why a lot of people are inclined to posting to Twitter or Facebook or something like that and tagging the airline. But if it's something like a canceled flight or lost luggage, they're going to need your personal information. So no matter what, they're eventually going to kick you over to DM. Tone is another big thing. Obviously, you are probably frustrated if you're in the position where you have to reach out on social media. And yes, they may still respond to you even if you curse or are particularly harsh. But remember, these are oftentimes real people. So just as with any other customer service interaction, you attract more flies with honey. You're better off being nice, and they're going to be more inclined to help you.
And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.